What's up, YouTube?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Prestige Reef Talk Show. My name is Alex, aka Reef Talk, and with me, as always, is Ryan from the UK's number one coral selling website, prestigereef.co.uk. Ryan, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am all right, yes. Managed to avoid trying to do something 10 seconds before we go live, so that's cool.
That's true. We did very well today, actually.
I know, very well restrained. But yeah, we're good. And we have a first timer joining us. Long term fan of you, both of you. There we go. Welcome. Thank you. Carping on with Hammy. Hello, everybody. Right. We're going to talk about today. So I'm setting up my new tank, of course, at some point. And so we're going to talk about, I'm going to let you guys choose my first fish, kind of.
I remember playing this game.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So I've gone on the Facebook group as well, but I had on my last tank, I had a few fish die over the last couple of years. Some were old age. I think most were kind of old age. The clownfish just disappeared for no reason. Don't know what happened with that. And that certainly wasn't old age, because I think it was only like 5-6 years old, and they should live to 20-30 years. But like wrasses were 5-7 years old, I mentioned before. So actually the numbers have dwindled. And I think I've only got 10. You're looking after about 10 of my fish, right?
Sure. The 10 of the month. Well, yeah, not like 7.
Yeah, it's not like you've sold the whitetail coal tank. So I've got, and with the new tank will be 6 feet long. And so I've got space for more fish, and I've got a bigger tank. So I've got even more space for more fish. So I've got to start thinking about, and this is, I'm not going to buy them all on day one, obviously, but I just want to start thinking about what fish.
I think you should buy them all on day one and quarantine them all in one tank.
Yeah.
And then put them in and never add anything else.
Yeah, well, that was the good thing about the tank before, was that because it was kind of stocked, and although fish numbers did drop off a little bit, I didn't want to add any more fish, because it was like, I've got all the fish I need. And if you add a fish, there's a risk. And that's, yes. I don't mind that. When day one, you don't mind that risk. 5 years in, you do mind that risk. But yeah. But so that's what we're going to talk about today. And we'll do the usual procedure. So we're going to start with week in reefing. Dare I ask, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Okay, I'll go first. Right. So something very, very bad happened a little while ago for me. I'm sure many of you remember that the water box got some sort of disease, I'm pretty sure it's Brook, and it wiped everything else. Since then, I have quarantined every single fish that has gone into that tank for 30 days, with the exception of the king eye, which was quarantined for, I think, 16 days. Now, yeah. 14 is how long you need to do it for as a minimum.
And he had copper treatment during that time, right?
Yeah, every single fish has copper treatment. They have Metroplex and they have freshwater dips. So now, I also have a UV sterilizer, which is tuned in for parasite elimination. So it has a very, very low flow. UV sterilizers need to have low flow for parasites and then high flow for bacteria. So I've done that. And about 4 days ago, even though no fish has been added for a while, the tank had for some reason, has a white spot outbreak. So when you go through that much effort, it is painful. It has cost hundreds of pounds to set up the quarantine. The Metroplex, I think, is like £100 just for the pot. So I tried to do everything absolutely perfectly. And somehow something has slipped through. I don't know how. Nothing has died. And I'll be honest with you, most of the fish seem fine.
Have they all got white spots?
No. So three of them have it. The Majestic, the King Eye, unfortunately, and the Jewel Tang are the ones that are displaying it. I have 4 cleaner shrimp in there as well. Now, they don't eat ick, just so everyone knows, but they are eating things off the fish. So yeah. Obviously fish scratch themselves.
Yeah.
Now, the cleaner shrimp are giving them like this little massage, you know, instead of them like hitting themselves into rocks.
Okay.
So
you've got a cleaner wrasse as well, haven't you?
Not in that tank. Okay. But yes, that's in quarantine. now, that tank will not give me an effing break.
No, yeah.
It will not give me a break, basically. I've never experienced anything like this. And I know why people leave the hobby after 6 months. I absolutely know. So what I did today...
Did you have velvet to start with?
No, I'm pretty sure it's... I'm pretty sure it was brook because the skin of the fish was like flaking off.
Right, okay.
Which is a brook thing.
So you had brook to start with, then a major, the world's biggest diatom outbreak.
Yes.
Both of which you got through, and now... How long did you leave the tank? You left it ages, fallow.
Yeah, the tank was empty for... I don't want to... It was probably at least 2 months it was empty.
Yeah, okay.
I did have inverts in there, but I didn't have any fish in there, and I just you can see by how I'm telling this story that it is mentally like done me in,
yeah.
Because I just think, what more can I do? I also wondered to some extent if quarantining fish and putting them through copper actually is also weakening the fish as well.
Mm-hmm.
Andy is correct. Ick is 100% treatable with quarantine, but for some reason I got it wrong. So
there are various degrees of quarantine. You could do that. You could put fish in quarantine for a year, do tank transfer method, chloroquine phosphate, copper treatment, the works, and still end up with a problem. There's no way of guaranteeing it, but there are degrees, and you do a lot more than I do for a start.
I do a lot more than most people.
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
Anyway, so what I've done today is I actually asked you to borrow your ozone, didn't I? Just to see that.
I thought you were up for the clarity. I was like, "Oh, cool."
No, I wasn't. I wasn't willing to tell you what was going on yet.
Yeah.
Obviously, I told you just before. So what I did today was I went to a Maidenhead and I bought a new tank. So I bought my original quarantine is 70 liters, and I now have bought a 150 liter quarantine tank. The other pitch is better than that one. Now, what I have done, as I said in the description of that picture, so I had nowhere to put this tank because the quarantine tank is on the only other thing that's suitable to hold a tank. So I decided to put it on the floor in the bathroom. Now, luckily, I am single, because if I had a partner, that would be a problem. Could you imagine saying to your wife, "Can I put a tank so big that she can't get into the bathroom, basically? You can't close the door."
Yeah.
Do you mind if I put this in your bathroom?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I have a separate bathroom to my partner. I put it in that bathroom rather than my own ones. But as I said, when I put it in there, I just laughed at myself. I thought, thank God I'm not seeing anyone. So
the plan is then to... Well, what is the plan?
I will catch the three fish which are most affected first. Luckily they're not afraid of the fish trap. I put the fish trap in earlier and the fish swam in without any food in it.
Okay.
So I'm not worried at all. I could have caught every single one of those fish already, but I'm increasing the salinity. I've just put salt in, sorry. Not increasing.
Okay. Oh, right. I see. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So it's literally day one. Are you going to treat all of them or?
I will probably, yes. Is the answer. That's why I bought a bigger tank. So there's not that many fish. There's like eight, but like four of them are about this big. So
inch long.
So I can put the four small ones in the... Tony's Coral said, you are overreacting to ick. Tony, I agree with you, but you tell me if you feel the same when you have an angelfish, which is 3,000 pounds.
So before we started, I said, I didn't say quite the same, but I said... I started saying, are you not just tempted to leave it? And then I realized that about the king eye, and you said, yeah, but what about him? It's like, yeah, okay.
So that...
And it's not like you can just take him out, treat him and put him back. It's just no point.
Is there no point? Because...
Well, there's some point, but you might... the worst case scenario, you take him out, stress him out, put him back in, cured, and he gets it again.
Yeah, that's the worst case scenario. But the best case scenario is I only have to take one fish out. So that's most correct. Tanks will have ick in it.
Yeah.
So your tanks will have it in it. It's just probably dormant.
Yeah.
So
I know that for a fact, actually. I don't know that for a fact. I did have a Blenny about 3 years ago that disappeared, completely just disappeared for no reason. And I posted a photo of it on Instagram, a macro photo. Yeah. And Marine Depot, that's how long ago, Marine Depot reposted it. And then someone commented saying, he's got ick. And then Marine Depot took the photo down. But you could see close up a couple of spots. So I think he brought it in. He died. But I posted that photo months after, and I didn't ever notice any other problem with any other fish. So it can just disappear, which is what I would do in that situation. But I don't have a 3 gram fish.
I'm actually feeding. So Medriplex says on it that it cures cryptocarrion, which is what ick is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true.
Medriplex?
It's an antibiotic, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's, I can't remember what it's called, but it is an antibiotic, I'm pretty sure. On the package, it says it does. Humblefish, who knows everything, says it doesn't.
Oh, right. I was going to suggest Humblefish, yeah.
He says it might kill the, that's it, metronidazole or whatever that is, right. Yes.
Okay.
Humblefish says it doesn't, although it might kill the free swimming ones, but it has to be at a certain level. However, you can feed it to the fish. So feeding it to them. You mix it with a binding
food, and then it gets in their gut or whatever.
So I've been feeding that to them as well to see if it makes a difference. I know this is insane because it doesn't work. I even went to the shop and I bought garlic, and I'm dipping their food in garlic.
But this is the thing. When you get that, you want to try anything. I've had the same situation years ago. Yeah,
they are getting fed like 5 or 6 times a day. The water quality is perfect. They're getting a mixed diet of mysis, pellets, and nori. So I'm doing everything, but I've just finally like lost my confidence to go, is this going to get better on its own?
Have you looked into tank transfer method?
Long time ago.
Popular in the States. I've never done it, but when I was quarantining a long time ago, tank transfer method seemed to be the people who kind of know their stuff with quarantine seem to really rate that. It takes quite a lot of effort, but it's quite effective, I think. But
that's what I'm saying. I think it's a lot of effort, but
yeah.
Look, I don't know. All I know is that this tank is fucking cursed.
It is, yeah.
It's like, sometimes you go into something and you think, yeah, I can do this. And you think, and this may very well end up being you as well. It may very well end up, just prepare yourself.
Yeah.
I said to the guy at the fish shop, who's a friend of mine, I said to him, I'm so glad that I have the coral farm, because otherwise people would think I didn't know what I was doing. Whereas obviously I do know what I'm doing. It's just sometimes this hobby just kicks your ass.
Well, you've even quarantined.
I've got a UV.
Someone just
said get a UV, they're amazing. So as I said, it's not bad. I just don't want it to get worse, and that's it. And any other small thing. So I have a breeding pair of Bangai cardinal fish. The male has eggs, and the female turned into an absolute like terror. I went into the coral farm. I was like, why is there a cov band that's like huddled in the corner, like not looking very happy? And I'm like, because you know what happened, like we're they're quite sensitive, so I'm always very like high alert with them. And then I saw it, and it's chasing chasing the tangs and everything. So I've taken those. I'd had to catch those, and I put them into a different tank.
The male has the male got babies in his mouth.
Yeah, not anymore. Right. He spat them out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But to be honest, he needed to spit them out. So he has done that several times, consistently, and they can't. So in the wild, that doesn't happen.
No, we talked about this recently because mine did that, and then the male died because he yes. didn't eat for, or he goes, he might eat 1 week in 6 months, or you know. Or...
Yes, so so I actually wanted him to spit them out, if I was honest. But then when the eggs were floating around and they had these little eyes, I was like, oh god, oh,
you cruel bastard!
Because obviously they'd obviously progress to us. I mean, if they got eyes, that's like not far away from them hatching,
right?
So
they're in the mouth for like a month, aren't they? Or 23
days, I think, is what wow. it is.
Yeah,
is, okay. yeah. I'm pretty sure it's 23 days. So yeah, that's it, basically. Like, so just now that I've lowered the mood.
Thanks for joining, guys. We'll be back next week.
The reason I said this to you at the beginning, I could very easily have kept this secret. I could have quarantined them again. Yeah. No one would ever know. But that's not real. And that's why I said to you, I'd rather tell people that I made a mistake. Because I must have made a mistake. I have to have done.
I mean, technically, but I don't think this is your fault.
The only thing that I do wonder, they say you have to keep the tanks, like the quarantine tank and your main display tank, far apart. I don't know yeah. why you have to keep them far apart, but
so some things can go through the air. But I think it's I'd be surprised if it had gone downstairs.
That's what I mean. Why the corner tank's into upstairs,
yeah,
exactly. Right next to the stairs, and then downstairs is obviously where the tank is. I don't know.
I think people say it's got to be, I don't know how far it is, but I think it's got to be like more than 10 feet away because it can transfer through the air. But I think, I don't know, but who knows? The trouble is you can get a disease on anything. You can put a frag plug in with a coral on it, and it's on there in the Taimon stage or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Literally, I am losing my love for this hobby.
I know.
It's like one tank can absolutely destroy it for you in one go.
Yeah.
Because I now have to wait 6 weeks again. So that tank has been running for a year now.
Yeah.
And it's like it's week one still.
I was about to say you've got another option. And actually, I need to tweak this a bit. But the other option would be to put all of the fish out.
Yeah.
Put them in their quarantine tank. Drain the water box completely. So you can keep the rock and... drain all the water out. Oh, it's just... either way, you'd have to leave that fallow for 3 months and start again. And to be honest, draining it completely, I don't know if that actually benefits at all. I think it's probably better just to leave.
I'm not overly worried. As I said, it's not like this is my only tank. So it's like you go, oh, you know, it hurts because I can't enjoy my hobby. I can't go to the fish or I can't get coral or whatever. So I've got other tanks, so I can still enjoy that part.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't mind the fish being quarantined. It's pretty easy, and you feed them and you still see the fish, so it's not like you don't have fish. So that's not a problem for me. I'll be honest with you, the biggest problem for me is that people expected me to share it with them on YouTube, so and I can't share any progression because there has been no progression, and that's it. So and it makes me look like I'm an idiot. That's what it does. So well, that's how it feels anyway.
Now,
our minds do this to us. We are our own worst like enemies. The chances are not a single person will worry or think about this after this moment. you see what I mean? Whereas because it's very visual to me, I think about it all the time.
Yeah. The alternative method I was going to suggest to start with was pull out all the fish, drain the tank completely and just let it completely dry, treat the king eye, fill the tank back up again after a month or whatever, put him back in and get rid of all the other fish. But then it's not like you can sell them, is it?
I don't know. There have been many great idiots in history. Thank you, Dan. That makes me that makes me feel good.
Yeah. It's nothing. This is not your fault. This is not your fault at all.
Is it not?
No, it's not. No, don't. Of course, it's not your fault because you quarantine your fish, right? And you not only do you quarantine, but you actually treat them. You don't just observe them.
Whose fault is it?
No one's fault.
We are responsible for our tanks. That's how I feel, anyway.
Right, so. But if this is not, you can only do so much. It's not possible to prevent absolutely everything bad from ever happening to your tank. Because technically, if you put a coral into your tank and it dies, that's your fault. But what if you've got absolutely no clue what killed it? Still your fault. But you can't look at it. You just need a bit of time to heal. Because this isn't your fault. You've done if you weren't doing any quarantine, you had no UV, you were just plop and drop.
Yes.
Fair enough. I think you could probably be a bit harsh on yourself. I still think that would be, I would put that down to, okay, I could have done more, but actually that is bad luck. But given all the extra stuff you've done, there's no way you can say that's your fault. It's in spite of that. And that's just
it's like I have an open wound and the water box keeps picking it. It's what it feels like. It never lets it heal.
Yeah. But so, Philip Harrison summarizes it succinctly and says, shit happens.
Look, as I said, I'm not saying that, oh, woe is me or anything. And it might sound like that. It's just, as I said, when you go through the amount of effort that I've gone through, it hurts.
Completely. Yeah. Yeah.
And because before I could say, look, I didn't do anything.
Yeah,
I had it coming. Whereas this time I went, I did everything and it still happened.
You might end up in a situation where a couple of weeks' time, it's all gone. There's no problem. Everyone's happy.
Yes. Yeah. And as I said, it's more of the fear of what will happen. Because if that King Eye dies, I can't show my face.
Why not?
Because I was the idiot that spent a load of money on a fish.
Oh, yeah, but...
That then didn't.
Plenty of people have spent more money than. So the Polo.
Actually, to be fair, Polo spent plenty of money on fish that didn't survive.
And when he first set up that tank, he had a housewarming party or something, didn't he? And the tank wasn't ready, and he knew it wasn't ready, but he said, "I've got to put fish in for this tank." He did it, and then they all died. And I'm not calling him out and saying that's his fault. I still think that's quite unlucky because he'd gone through some of the quarantine. But you're not the first person to spend a lot of money on a fish, and fish not to make it.
As I said, we are our own worst enemy. Our minds are our own worst enemies.
So. Yeah. I've been in the same position. My first ever tank. Was it my first ever tank? I think so. Got it. Yeah, it was. And I actually ended up just leaving it after a week of trying to work out what to do. And everything was fine, actually. But for that week or 2 week or whatever it was, God, you feel shit about yourself. You don't know what to do. It's like, how do I fix this? And especially when you do all the research, you follow all the right steps like you've done, it still doesn't work. But the reality is that a couple of weeks' time or a month's time, this will all pass and it'll be fine. It's just getting through that. And
The other thing is fish do develop immunity to after having it.
Yeah.
So once they've got it, in theory, they don't. It's not permanent immunity.
No, they make it more resilient, more resistant.
But they're more resilient, yes. And also, once they're in the tank and they're established, and it's like the stressors, and they're used to the feeding regime and stuff like that, the stressors that cause it are less likely as well. So that, combined with that immunity, means... Like, I've got a powder blue tang in the coral farm. Spotless. Literally not a single spot on it. And it's like, you never see powder blue tangs like that, do you? Now, there will definitely be white spots in there, but it's because none of those fish were ever quarantined, but they've all got some level of basic immunity now, and I haven't had a problem, touch wood.
In terms of recovering, and this is not advice to everybody else, when I had ick in my first tank, I went online. I was that person. I went on the forums, Ultimate Reef, and I was like, God, this is what's happening. I was panicking. Because I felt like I had to do something immediately. And I was like, what do I do? I had a load of people really experienced telling me what I should do. I ignored all of it, singled out the advice that I thought was most suited to me, because I can't remember why, because it was the easiest, or because it was, you know, the thing that I wanted to hear or whatever. Yeah. I just left it. I probably fed garlic, I'm sure I did. I put a UV on, all that sort of stuff, and left it, and it was fine. And that's not because of me. It was in spite of me, actually. But everything was fine. And that tank, actually, I transferred that tank over to another tank. And so that system ran for about 3 years with the same fish in it.
Yeah.
And I'm not advising you to do the same as I did. You can say I got lucky. But in three years, that problem never came back.
Yeah, that's...
Never saw a spot again.
I've never had trouble for years and years and years with disease. I don't know if there's something new, not something new, but something going around specifically this last year because lots of people seem to be struggling with it. I don't know if it's more than usual or not. But on the upside, your fish are all doing great.
Oh,
they are eating me out of house and home.
Yeah, they're living great. It's like a Michelin-starred restaurant.
It is, yeah. I now feed 14 cubes of mysis a day.
Is that up on what you were doing before?
Yeah, I was feeding 10, I think, before. Okay. So I'm now feeding 14 a day. I go through half, you know, with those packets? Half every day. It's gone. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's... I buy packs of like like 70 of them, so I I get my wholesale cost, so it doesn't particularly matter. But I just because I'm just like, I'm making sure I'm keeping your fish happy. They're gonna be fatter than when they got here.
Yeah, well, the Falco is quite chubby.
That's the only one that I you don't see so often. He stays under the tray for some reason, but. There was something funny earlier as well, because I walked in there and the scarlet hawkfish was sitting on the zoas.
Yeah.
And because it was under blue light, it looked quite dark rather than the red color. Yeah. And I looked at it, I was like, why do those zoas look like there's a big patch missing on them? Yeah. And then I realized it was the hawkfish sitting in them.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
they're such cool fish. Love hawkfish.
Yeah. Well, I've got one myself now, haven't I? So...
Yeah, yeah.
It'll just be another 6 weeks or so before it can go in.
Yeah. Okay, so he's in quarantine, is he?
Yeah, he's in quarantine, okay. Yeah. There you go. I've done the first half an hour. You can do all the talking you want now.
Well, I've got positive stuff, so I feel...
Thanks, tell you what, bring it on.
I know. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll start with some disgusting stuff. So I had my six-year-old tank, when I broke it down, obviously, I drained it all completely. But what I did was I drained the sump and the actual tank itself completely to zero. I put a towel in, mopped up all the water that was left. So there was nothing in there. But the weir box was still full of water. And the reason I left the weir box was because I was thinking, if I unscrew the plumbing, does that mean all the water is going to pour out? And I was thinking, I don't think it does. But I wonder if that loosens it and it all comes out. So I was just trying to work out logistically how to do it. I was like, I'll do it next week. That was a mistake. Because when I actually got around to doing it, I undid the plumbing, nothing happened. Because the water, that's not how it works. Because it only goes down the top of the pipes.
Yeah,
and that was obvious. So I undid the plumbing and then I got a siphon, put it to the bottom of the weir box and drained the weir box with the siphon, which is what I should have done on day one.
Yeah.
And my God, that water... absolutely stank. It was the most pure form of evil smell I've ever smelt in my life. And I pulled out all of the downpipes.
Yeah,
this
saw
is
that.
What they look like. This is on Instagram for the podcast.
There was some really wise guy that's given you like very good advice twice, I think. So once was with this, when you were breaking your tank down, I said to you, you want to clean this right now because otherwise it's really hard to clean. Do you not remember?
No, although cleaning it was easy. It just took a bit of elbow grease. So this is the main drain.
Yeah.
And I soaked this in citric acid and then just gave it a bit of a scrub. And that was, it went from covered in this weird matting filter feeder, or what I don't know what it is, but whatever it was, and all these little sponges, everything, to more or less perfect. So actually cleaning, and all the pipes were the same. Cleaning the pipes was easy, but the smell was quite something special.
Nice.
But there were... a couple of other things with that when I broke it down. So that coral that you said you thought was a chalice, remember that? You were like, "What's that chalice?" It's a really nice one. When we were draining the tank,
a tiny little
like an inch. Okay, so there was a coral that you.
Because I thought it was the chalice that I thought was one I gave you. I think
that's it.
Thought...
Yeah, yeah. Which is a nice, that one is a really nice chalice, which is actually doing really well, by the way. But it wasn't. It was a Bowerbanky.
Okay.
Before good sign. Before at home, you're thinking. Coral farmer doesn't know the difference between a chalice and a Bowerbanky.
Yeah.
This was saddest looking Bowerbanky you've ever seen in your life. I bought it, I don't know, 6 months ago. And I don't really know what caused it. It suffered in my water box salinity issues.
Yeah.
But it never recovered and it went tiny. And the flesh that was remaining was like a centimeter across, if that. It was really it was really small. And it had been like that in my water box for months. Couldn't fix it, tried moving it to low light, got all the parameters back where they should be and all that. didn't work. Moved it down to my main tank because I've done that a couple of times with some corals and they've done better for whatever reason. Did that. That didn't work either. and so I just left it and I just thought, you know what? I don't know how to fix it. So I've tried the things that I think are obvious. I'll just leave it.
Yeah.
But after draining that tank completely, the main tank I drained completely and I just left it for probably about a week, but I left it for a day and I went back and saw that Baobanki again. So it wasn't circulating through the sump. The heaters were off and all that.
Yeah.
The temperature was down to 21 degrees. It looked really good. Suddenly it had really puffed up.
Yeah.
And the only thing I can think is the temperature.
Or that rabbit fish was eating it.
That was just came to my mind. So there are two, but it was interesting that it was doing really well, relatively. It was still savage, but
yeah,
it could have been the rabbit, to be fair. But actually,
I just realized I put that rabbit fish in with my Akens.
Oh, I wouldn't have done that, mate.
I have some Akens at the back. I don't think they're there to grow, so I don't really sell them. But I haven't noticed anything different with them, but you are right. That was a bad idea.
As far as I'm aware, that one didn't ever touch any corals.
Yeah.
That one was fine. However, my one spot fox face started doing this. I say started doing this. So he was, this is again on Instagram for the podcast people. He started chewing on my scully. And this, I noticed this, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago. My scullies, both of them just started looking sad. And because I had had salinity issues and all this, I was like, okay, it must be that. But I sorted all that out. Everything else recovered. And those two didn't. And I was like, that's so weird. What? How did that? And I've had them for years. So I know they're healthy and all that. And it's not like there's something burrowing underneath them. So I couldn't work it out. I moved them to the main tank and they recovered. And I was like, right, okay. So it must have been the water. There must have been high phosphate, or I don't know, something like that, too much light, whatever. And then when I moved them back from the main tank to the water box, when I closed the water box down, they started sulking again. And I was like, why? And it wasn't like they were complete. It wasn't like they were at death door, but they were just like half receded and just
they didn't were annoyed.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so they'd been like that for months, and it turned out it was the one spot fox face.
What is the most liked comment on that post out of interest? There's some smug guy I saw
some comment. Dickhead. Yeah, 35 smug likes. Guy
has had 35 likes. Yeah.
A very wise man once told me that fox faces eat coral. For some reason his name slips my mind at the moment.
Who was that? Who was that smug guy?
Prestige Reef.
Oh yeah, it was me, wasn't it? Yeah, true. Yeah, true.
And number one coral farmer in the UK.
And who was that wise guy as well? Oh wait, that was
Prestige Reef also, yeah. So there are two things about that. Firstly, those scullies went in the main tank with the rabbit fish that you're now looking after, and you didn't touch them.
Yeah.
And I also had things like chalices, a couple of Akens and all that. Yeah, so I think you'll be all right. But the other thing with this is, so that one spot fox face, I knew you'd say that the second you could, you'd be like, I told you they're not really safe. And you're right, but my position on fox faces hasn't changed, and rabbit fish hasn't changed. I think that I've always said there's a risk, but it's a relatively low risk. And I think I've had 5 rabbit fish in the last, and I've been in the hobby for just under 10 years. I realized the other day, this September is my 10 year anniversary. Anyway, so I've been in the hobby just under 10 years. I've had 5 rabbit fish in that time for several years. Yeah. And this is the first time I've had an issue that I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had plenty of fleshy Akens and that sort of stuff in with them. But as soon as I saw that, I had to catch him. I was like, he's got to go. And actually, when I took him out, I took him back to my local fish shop and got store credit instead. So if you buy a one spot fox face from Reef, watch out. But it's weird because I was wondering what else would recover. And there was one gunny actually that had been kind of shriveled ish for a while. Yeah. And as soon as he came out, that looked really good for like an hour. And then when I got back from the shop, it's again looking as it was, and it's still now looking no better. So I actually don't think he was touching that. But there was my trachy is more inflated. So I wonder if he was having an occasional peck at the trachy, but that was always fine. It's just even more fine now, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But that's the fleshy kind of meaty coral that they would go for. And my what's it called? The Space Invader Pectinia. Every now and then that went shriveled. Every now and then.
Yeah.
And it hasn't done since I've taken him out. it's been too short to conclude that was it. But I think there were three or four corals that he was pecking at occasionally. And that the scully he was going for.
He wasn't, to be fair.
I know, yeah. Even with that, though, he only did that very occasionally. Whereas, like, sometimes you can find, you get a coral eating fish, and you leave them for an hour and they demolish it. Even he was, I don't know if it was like the slime or something, but yeah. Anyway,
there are fish which are considered reef safe, which are just not reef. There are individual in species of fish which are known for being reef safe, which are not. I've had tangs eat.
Say hippo tangs.
No, purples. I've had issues with purples, sail fins, regal tangs. I've had fox faces, which will eat coral. So usually with the tangs, they are eating. They're like irritating it. They learn if you poke this thing, it pushes slime out, and then I can eat that.
It tastes nice.
So they just spend all the time just like pecking it and eating the slime. So they're not really eating it. They're just annoying it. But yeah, there have been, I've since having the coral farm, it's like my eyes have been opened because there's been so many things where I'm like, because you have to try and work out, like if I had a scully, for example, which wasn't opening, I'm going, well, what's happening with this? So you might have to sit there and watch it for an hour to try to catch that fish eating it, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
How did that fish get away with it for so long? Like, and all, because obviously when I have clients at the farm as well, this is actually usually when I notice they'll be talking, and then all of a sudden I go, "That bastard! I just started eating something."
But they do it subtly. So that had been going on for months, at least 3 or 4 months.
Yeah,
and I'd never seen him until this week.
Why? How?
Like, and then suddenly he's like, "Oh yeah, I do this all the time. Didn't you know?"
they're not shy when it comes to eating.
I wonder if it's because they do it at night, because that's when the corals are more puffy and I don't know, and they don't bother. And this time he was just like, do you know what? I don't care if it's not really inflated. I want to eat it. But I don't know. But it's funny because you never see it. And but then when you pull the fish out, the coral recovers and you're like, I see. But yeah. I made a video, I don't know, about 4 or 5 years ago, that was the top 7 reasons your corals are dying. And I think it was a top 10 in the end, because I listed a few other things. And that video still is valid to this day, because you look down that list and it doesn't tell you how to fix everything, but it tells you the top 10 causes, basically. Yeah. And it's 90% certainty is one of the things on that list. How you actually identify, because with those scullies, I didn't know it hadn't even crossed my mind that it was the fox face. Because I figured, like,
it would have been the first thing on my list.
Yes, it's true. This is true. But I would have thought that he would have like pecked it and gone for it. Yeah. And I would have other things as well. Like if all stuff was sulky, but you know, anyway. But yeah, so you were right.
Can I have a trophy? I've not had a trophy in a while.
No, can I just
trophy that just says you were right.
I don't want to encourage you to be smug. And if I got a trophy that just said you're right, look, you just told me any opportunity.
I need a win at the moment. This is my win. Let me have this.
I'm not prepared to let you have that win. Okay. I'll send you a trophy anyway.
I don't know. I don't really want a trophy.
So that's all the fish stuff. And actually the other thing, so because I broke my main tank down, my smart tester, my phosphate tester, my refactory one, was going spare. And I was just going to leave it, but I thought, you know what, let's set up on my water box. So I set up on the water box tank instead, and I'd not really been testing. I've not tested phosphate on that for a little while. I knew it was high because when the last time I tested it was high. And I tested it. So I set the auto tester up, and it was 0.4 was my phosphate. And actually, it went. Yeah. The next test was said 0.45, and then it dropped back down to 0.4. But whatever, it was at 0.4, and I was like, okay, I need to do something about it. I'd been testing my nitrate recently because my nitrate kept zeroing out. So I've boosted that up by dosing a bit of nitrate, and nitrate is now like 5 parts per million or something. It's fine. But my phosphate got quite high. So I've taken steps, and this is the value of an automatic tester. It doesn't have to be the refactory one. It can be the robot. You've got the ReefBot, the Mastertronic, anything that does it automatically. They're so good because it's so easy to say, I'll just test. But when you've got something like this that does it every day, it's so useful. And now my phosphate is down to 0.3, and it'll do a test in a couple of hours. It'll probably be lower. yeah, because I've started dosing this stuff.
I use that.
Do you? Do you know,
yeah, where is yeah. It? I used it the other day.
This is Blue Life Phosphate RX. So this is lanthanum chloride, basically.
Yeah.
Is it lanthanum? I'm sure it is. It must be. It can't be anything else.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is lanthanum chloride.
It doesn't say, but it must be. Yeah. So, and I've never used this before. I bought this ages ago because I wanted to try it. But I just, one thing I didn't realize is you can't really put this on a doser. Or you probably could, but you'd have to dilute it because you need such a tiny amount.
Yeah, yeah.
On top of this, reduce my phosphate by 0.05 parts per million. Albeit in a small tank of about 120, yeah, yeah. But that one drop, and that's less, I don't know how much, that's a milliliter, I don't know. So you can't put that on a doser, really. Not on my tank anyway, it's too small. But it's really good. And what I've done now, I've set the tester up. So it tests, it gives me a result about 10 o'clock at night. And that's the time I'm going to bed. So, and I've set it. So if it goes outside of the range, it flashes up a notification to say your phosphate's too high. I go in, pop a little drop in, yeah, and it's done. And then the next day it's lower.
Just be careful because you definitely can strip out too much with that easily.
For sure. And this, so I think I've put three drops in over the course of about 10 days.
Oh, I had, when I was using it, I was trying to bring it down and there was something that was stripped. It was something I'd had for years. It wasn't an expensive coral. It was like a Ceratopora or something.
Yeah, okay.
Or one of the Monty Digis or something. And I just went, that's weird. Then I checked with my HANA checker and that wasn't correct. So now it was saying that I still had phosphate. And then I checked with a reagent and it went, your phosphate is zero. And I'm like,
yeah, funny.
Something I've noticed is we rely on HANA equipment and we treat it as if it's absolute. If that says you have phosphate, then you have phosphate. Mm. We found that with the salinity pen, and I've now found it with the ultra lone rage phosphorus. It is good, but it's not nothing. Yeah, I don't think it's 100%.
Oh no, you should be skeptical of all testing equipment.
Yeah,
whether it's a 10 quid Salifert test kit or a £1,000 automatic tester, you should be skeptical of it.
Yeah,
but I've got good lately at taking things slowly. Years gone by, I probably would have gone, let's put five drops in. See what
See what happens.
Yeah. Exactly. And then if it doesn't budge an hour, put another five drops in. But now it's like I've literally put in three drops this week.
Yeah.
And I started like last Friday. So, and I don't really have a target for a bit, 0.1 maybe. If it comes down to that over the course of a month, it's fine.
Yeah.
Because everything's fine. So I don't need to bring the phosphate down. I just feel like it will be better if I do. So, but it's interesting stuff. And there are, well, there's all sorts of guides online. The people online will tell you that lanthanum chloride causes all sorts of issues. And there are other people who say, mate, it's fine, don't worry about it. But I'm taking it slowly and I'll find out. But so far, admittedly, a week in, I like it.
How are you dropping into the tank? Are you literally just putting it into the main display? Or
no, I'm putting it into the filter roller. So I put one drop into it's effectively a filter sock. So into the automatic, I put one drop in. And it goes into, because that's what you're either supposed to put it into the skimmer or a filter sock. So it pulls it all.
The filter sock, though, has to be, I think it's like a five or 10 micron one, I think.
Correct. I don't know what size it is. And I don't know what size my filter roller is.
Yeah.
But I figure that's the best I can do.
Is it the Red Sea one?
No, it's the Refactory.
I don't know then. Because they all have different micron sizes.
They don't all tell you the same. I think Red Sea doesn't quote a micron size, but yeah. But anyway, so I used to, I tried it before in my main tank and I put it into my skimmer. But I don't have a skimmer on the water box. So, but yeah, so far so good.
I didn't know that tank didn't have a skimmer. The tank looks so good.
It looks fantastic. I love it. It's so good. It's got a refugium.
Yeah.
But I don't really want to run it. Well, I won't run a refugium on my next tank and I want to have a skimmer. The only reason I don't have a skimmer, in an ideal world, I would just have a skimmer and a filter roller on that, but nothing else, no refugium. Yeah. But I don't want any noise in this tank, in this room. And even my Kessels, the fans make some noise and I don't like that. But, you know, how much of a fanboy I am with Kessels, so I'm prepared to put up with that.
True.
But skimmers and fans are one thing. Skimmers, they're fine at first, but after a while they're like, and it's just this low hum.
I quite like it. The reason I quite like it is because I know the tank's on. When the, if the tank is deadly silent, I don't know if it's running or if the power's out.
I like, yeah, I don't know. I think there's a very low level that I like, but
yeah.
But that's that. And also, the last thing I wanted to say, my week in reefing, was I've added to my three favorite discoveries. So my three favorite discoveries in the last year or so were, one, this stuff. This is the Reefs Elements Clearview Glass Spray. But the Fritz Glass, Fritz, whatever it's called, Fritz Spray Glass Cleaner is the same thing.
Yeah.
I just love it. It's so good. Number two is the Red Sea Baffle Removal Kit. It's like 10 or 15 quid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It makes taking baffles out. I've tried it before, and every time you post online saying, oh, God, but taking baffles out is so hard, people will say, oh, use a guitar string, use a cheese grater, use razors. All, they'll give you all these ideas. I've tried everything. It's an especially if it's in an awkward spot, it's a nightmare because the silicone is really thin, like wafer thin.
Yeah.
The Red Sea Baffle Removal Kit is amazing. So that's number two on my list of amazing discoveries. And the third one, this is what I've added to in the last week or so.
Oh,
I knew you'd say that. So this is my lithium ion battery backup. And I've become a bit obsessed with battery backups in the last couple of weeks, as you know. Basically, yeah, all I talked to you about now. But it's just so good. That lasted, I did a test the other day. It lasted between 24 and 34 hours. It went, it stopped working overnight. And last I tested it, I think I stopped the clock at night, and it was 24 hours, 45 minutes. We called it 25 hours. So it might have been 25 hours, it might have been 34 hours, but that's enough. That's long enough on my intake. And it's just tiny and lightweight. It's so, so good. And the other thing I like about this, because at the moment up here, I don't have any spare plugs in this room. They're all taken up.
Yeah.
But this is where I mix salt water for my water changes on the Cade and on the water box.
I know where this is going.
And now I can just I've got a little portable power supply thing, basically. It's brilliant. It's so good.
Oh, sorry. So should I be just as excited as you? Wow.
I know. Yeah, I know you're not going to be excited. But
you have discovered something which could, in theory, help hundreds, if not thousands, of people. So,
actually, the reason I'm so excited about that is because I did a video on the Reef Talk Extra channel about this.
Yeah.
And the video was entitled, the Ecotec battery backup just became obsolete.
Yeah.
Because I have it here. Oh, God. Hang on. I need. Lara, can you give me a lift in this thing? Oh, there we go.
You ask Lara because she's stronger than you.
Oh, because I need about five people. So this is the Eco. I have two of these, to be fair. And actually, the Ecotec battery backup is a really good bit of kit because it might save your tank. But it's 200 quid, and that's far too expensive for what it is. And this is 80 quid, 75 quid. It's tiny. It's lightweight. It's just so, so much better. And one of the things that I was thinking about, and why I think that the Reef Talk Extra video is quite important, is because when I was first in the hobby, I really wanted a battery backup, some kind of power outage option, because it's important and it might just save your fish.
Yeah.
But I couldn't afford it. And I kept thinking, 200 quid, I just can't justify that. Whereas if there's an option now for 70 quid, most people will justify that. And the thing is, the only problem with it is that this is a replacement for the Vortec. So you still have to have a Vortec pump, either the power head or the return pump. So you still have to have that. But there are plenty of people. Like at the time, I had one MP10, so I could afford that, an expensive power head, but I couldn't afford a battery backup.
Yeah.
And I would have bought that.
How much is the power head? Is it £130?
Oh, the power head is crazy. It's well an MP10. What's an MP10 these days?
Because you said you need to have a specific power head to work with it.
Oh, well, so that works with an MP10 or an MP40.
Oh,
that's
sorry.
Why it's so brilliant. So this is just a straight up replacement
for the
Ecotec battery backup.
So I was making a joke because I thought that if you combine the two, it equals the cost of the battery backup.
Oh, I see. No, that's just a straight swap. Instead of buying the Ecotec battery backup, buy that. It'll save you 130 quid.
Yeah.
It's much, much lighter. It's just brilliant, and it's smaller. And the other thing, I did look at some videos because I tested that. It was 25 to 34 hours is roughly how long it lasted. And the Ecotec one, I tested.
You were sending me updates.
I know, yeah. Takes your photos and stuff. The Ecotec one I tested as well, and my Ecotec one lasted 6 hours, but it's 3 years old.
Yeah.
And they're supposed they last 3 to 5 years. So it's not quite a fair test. And actually, BRS did a test about 4 years ago before you could get battery backups like this one. And their Ecotec one lasted 80 hours, so just over 3 days. But that was day one when it's brand new. And lead acid doesn't last very well. So I don't think that's a fair test either. I don't think either are fair tests. But theoretically, the Ecotec one will last longer than this one because it's got more capacity. But 24 hours is more than enough for 99.99% of people. If you live in Texas, and last year they had like a five-day power outage, fair enough, that's not good enough.
Buy five of them.
Exactly, yeah, it's very true. But it's just brilliant. And in terms of the power, I'll do another video soon that talks about battery backup for a nano tank, because the other problem is that for a battery backup, you can buy the Tunzi safety connector and you can DIY one, but they're fiddly and most people don't want to play around with DIYing and with electrics. There's a portion of the hobby that does, but 95% don't, probably even more than that.
I wouldn't.
No, exactly. But you can also use this for a nano tank. And I bought a Powerhead, that little TMC one I showed you before. And that is now set up on my my Reefcaster, and it's running on one of these. And that's a battery backup as well for that. So now I have a battery backup that doesn't need a Vortec pump. It just needs a 50 quid TMC Powerhead. And it's brilliant.
There you go.
So I'm excited about that.
Me too. Sorry. Me too.
This is the other thing. So I've got at some point I'm going to do a live stream with Telegram, and I have.
It probably should have been this one, because you two would have been like, "Oh, this is amazing."
I'll do it. I won't do it. I was going to get him as a guest on the Sunday one, but I'll just do it separately whenever he's free. Basically, he'll message me, and I'll be like, "Yeah, we'll sign up now." It'll probably be on a Friday afternoon US time. Yeah. But I've got a list of questions that I'm going to ask him.
You're trying to make me jealous, aren't you?
No, I'm not. No, not at all. I'm trying to save you the pain of sitting through. Because I messaged him on Instagram to arrange it, and I said I can't put Ryan through this, because if we talk about battery backups for more than 30 seconds, he'll top himself. So
that is true. I know you can tell that I'm tired at the night. I didn't sleep very well last night, so it's only 50% because I'm not interested, and it's 50% because I'm very tired.
I'm talking to everybody at home.
So. I know, but sometimes people see they go, look at Ryan's face. It's like, so I'm now seeing him smiling, trying to look interested.
Yeah.
I should do this. Battery backups.
Oh wow, yeah. Just freeze like that. But so that if you can go and look at the video on the Reef Talk Extra video that I just did on Friday, if you want to find it, and there's a link in the description to that. But this is basically a mini UPS uninterruptible power supply for a Wi-Fi router. So you can use, as long as it's got a 12-volt output, which this one does, that's all you need to know. So you can go and find one. This is by a company called Talent Cell, and it's on Amazon for 70 quid. It's brilliant. Anyway, I'll spare you the... Well, let's talk about fish, Ryan.
Yeah. Or Kevin wants to talk about my nose.
Oh, yeah. How is your nose?
I am on antibiotics from the doctor, and they think I have some sort of like weird tropical disease. That's actually true. Right. So it is mostly better now. But when I went to the doctor, because it was getting worse and worse, I was like, not sure if I should tell you this, but I deal with coral. And then the woman was like, I'm not sure I had training for this. So I'm like, look, don't worry, just don't think about the coral. Just think about like what you would do to fix me. And she originally suggested a cream, which did not work. So then she has given me proper antibiotics.
Oh, right. Was that like an antihistamine cream?
No, it's actual antibiotics. And they're not the ones they're not the ones you can eat. So I can't eat with them. So they're different to the normal ones that I would normally have. But yes.
I mean, in theory, it's a bit scary to have a tropical disease. But if that's the worst it does to you,
you're probably all right. Look, it's probably not a tropical disease, if you see what I mean. Yeah. But I think because I said it to her, it was like red alert.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm just going to answer a couple of other battery backup questions. Does that UPS do 24 volts though? No, it doesn't. And that's why this is just a replacement for the Ecotec battery backup. It's not, so it won't power AI Neros, for example, because they're all 24 volts. And the Ecotec power heads are actually, they are 24 volts as well. But the battery backup slot is a 12 volt slot, so that's why it works. And it will work with, someone else asked if it will work with a Vectra. Yes, it will, exactly the same. You need the Ecotec booster cable, which you also need if you buy the Ecotec battery backup.
Yeah.
But yes, it does work. It works with those, but it won't work on most pumps. Like the Jekods I have on my Cade, it won't work with those. The AI Neros, it won't work with those. But it will work with MP40s, any of the MP40s, MP10s, MP10s, MP60s, Vectra L1, L2, S2, Vectra L, all the Ecotec stuff. Anyway. MP40 is 32 volt, but the battery backup slot is 12 volt, and that's the crucial thing, because when it kicks into battery backup mode, it kicks it down to like 50%. And he's still awake. I thought
I'm still awake. Don't you worry, I've just got distracted by something. So
a couple of other things. So Woody's Gamer Tag, thanks for the super chat, says, what's your biodiversity strategy for the new tank? I don't know if I'd call it a biodiversity strategy, but what I'm currently doing at the moment, I have a Rubbermaid tub next to me, 32, like a 10-gallon Rubbermaid tub, and that has a pet rock in it. So I have two rocks that I took out from my main tank. One's been in there for 6 years. The other had been in there for about 3 years. And those rocks, I'm just keeping in salt water with a power head moving, and they're blacked out. The one that's been there for 6 years was in the sun. It's got a couple of sponges on it, but it's got no photosynthetic life whatsoever.
Yeah.
The other one was in the main tank that's got a couple of zoas on it and that sort of stuff. But they will all eventually disappear. So the plan is I'll keep my pet rock mixing with salt water. I'll do water changes on it to get rid of all the phosphate and all that. When my new scape arrives in the next week or two, probably end of next week or the weekend or the week after, I'll put them all in a bigger vat. So there'll be this brand new fresh rock in a vat with this little pet rock I've got here, and that'll spread and infect the new scape. And I'll keep them in a completely blacked out tub until the new tank is up and running. So probably for about a month, they'll be blacked out and in water. So that's my biodiversity strategy, basically.
Have you got a heater in there with them?
No.
Oh, no heater then?
No. This room gets to the temperature sits about 21 degrees. And it stays roughly that temperature. But I don't think that's necessary for the purposes I'm trying to achieve.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, if you want to call that a biodiversity strategy, that's what it is. I don't want just completely a dry rock, dry sand, all that stuff. I want to seed it effectively.
Yeah.
And I always put some live rock in a new tank.
I think that's the most important thing these days with new tanks, to have actual live rock. Because trust me, the old tanks were way easier.
Yeah, for sure. So that's the plan with that. I did something similar. You might consider putting a powered in there too. There is a powered in there. I was just aerating it. But I think that's potentially really good. And it'll just mean that I'll have some rock. I don't know, probably 10 kilos of rock. So 20 pounds of rock. Of live rock going into the tank, and my new scape will have been seeded for a few weeks. So
don't you worry, all this effort, you know, you're like, trust me,
it's all for nothing.
Coral
Euphoria recommends putting a lower power light over the new rock rather than blacking it out. I'm not going to do that, but Abe is the man, so listen to Abe more than me.
True.
But I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to keep it blacked out basically and circulated, as long as it's oxygenated and it's in salt water.
How many zoas are in there?
Oh,
they start to die and like
I know.
Into the water.
That's why I'm going to do a water change, but literally one or two heads. I just noticed this morning, actually. I didn't even realize there's a couple of Astorinis in there, obviously.
Nice. Well, they'll survive.
yeah, but it'll all be fine. So what else was I going to do? And so that's basically everything on that. So fish list then. I'm going to go, if you've got fish that you want, this tank will be 6 foot by 2 foot by 2 foot, roughly, for the sake of argument. So fish suggestions are all gratefully received. So chuck them in the comments and in the chat. And I'm going to go through a couple on the Facebook group, and I'm going to get Ryan as well. And then I'm going to tell you the ones that I'm currently thinking of. So the ones in the loads in the chat on the Facebook group, some people were were playing with house money, because they were talking about butterflies, angels, triggers, puffers.
Nice.
And he, this guy was suggesting, it's Mike Nicosia, he was suggesting a Fowler tank, to be fair. But there was koi parrotfish. Like that idea a lot.
Yeah.
Big fan of that idea.
I know you like that idea.
Oh, yeah. Magnificent fox face, not going to happen. I might not put any rabbit fish in there now. Because what I want, what my plan with this is, I want to, when you set up this, your angelfish tank,
yeah,
it was a challenge for you because you were like, I want to see how I can, how we can deal with the angelfish eating corals and all that sort of stuff.
It was not the challenge I was expecting though.
No. But you set out to have a challenge.
Yes.
I don't want a challenge at all. I don't want any complexity. So I'm not going to choose any fish. I'm not going to get a copper band. I'm not going to get any fish that I think will eat corals. I want the easiest life possible. A reef tank for me is challenging enough. So I want to try to keep it fairly simple.
Yeah. You want to get one of those special Prestige Reef copper bands. Don't you worry. I'll sort you out.
No, because they'll eat corals.
No. These ones. Well, yeah, if I'm giving one away, it's one I don't want.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I'm not. Definitely not getting a copper band. There'll be no butterflies. A couple of people suggested pyramid butterflies, and you can keep them in small shells of 3 or 4 or 5. But I had 3 before and I didn't like them. But even they're a risk, even though they're supposedly a reef-safe butterfly, even they're a risk. But loads of tang suggestions. Damselfish.
I think that you should do what I have always wanted to do. You need one of every Zebrazoma tang. There are 7.
No, there are 7.
And keep all 7 of them together.
Ugh.
And have no other fish.
I just said I don't want a challenge. And you're telling me I should get...
That wouldn't be a challenge.
They wouldn't be aggressive. They'd all be fine.
If you put them in all at the same time, at the same size, they probably would be fine.
No way.
Yeah. No. They probably would be fine. No. Just remember, though, one of them is a black tang.
Yeah. Money.
And that's the one that gets white spot.
Yeah, this is true. But even they might be fine at first, but there'd be aggression throughout. I'm sensitive to aggression, as we've established. But I'll tell you the fish I'm looking at. So on top of the ones I've got, I've only got a list of like 5 or 6, and I'm in no rush. So this is over the course of a year, 2 years, whatever. Yellow wrasse. And I know you love wrasse.
Yeah.
Scarus koi, which you think is a bad idea.
I think it's a bad idea.
Why do you think it's a bad idea?
Because they get quite big. They're like a bit, they're sort of like bulky where they go around like biting stuff. So
a bit clumsy.
I think it's the sort of thing that you will regret long term.
I'll fish him out.
Well, I'm just, that's,
but yeah.
That's,
yeah.
I thought you wanted an easy life.
Oh, I do, but I don't think of that. So I had one before and it was crunching at the bases of my acros.
Exactly.
But I think it was crunching. I think it didn't touch the LPS and I think it was doing that to get to algae underneath. So I think it might be okay, but I'm not saying he's going to be safe, but that's a possibility. Apart from that, 2 dragon pipefish.
Yeah.
I think they're cool.
Yeah, they are.
Either an orchid or a splendid dottyback, probably an orchid dottyback, because they're quite nice purple colour and they're one of the more peaceful dotties.
Are they?
Yeah. I had one before, it was good.
Yeah.
And a royal grammar, because I love royal grammars. Who doesn't love royal grammars?
Yeah, I got one of those.
But and what else? Unicorn tank. Can we all stop?
They're not going to fill your tank very much.
Well, no, this is a start, but we need to stop suggesting tangs. Clown tang, mustard tang.
Yeah.
No.
We should read Jay's Real Reef's comment.
Jay's Real Reef.
Yeah, I think.
I remember how bad your taste in fish is, Alex. Remember the live when you went head to head with Ryan and lost every round?
Good times. Yeah, I remember those times.
Still hers. But
you won the coral one, though, didn't you?
I did.
That still hurts.
Exactly. But yeah, I might have a tang. I might have a blonde naso tang because they're supposedly one of the most peaceful. You've said that before. Like it keeps everyone in check and he doesn't.
Yes. Yeah. They do. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not going to have several tangs. I'll have my whitetail coal tang who might get aggressive at some point. I've got a Tominy tang as well. That I might put in there. We'll see. But I'm not having several Zebrazomas. I don't like them. Purples and all that. And all that tamarin leopard wrasse. Tamarin. I don't think that's a leopard wrasse. A tamarin, I think, is an anamsis wrasse. But tamarin wrasse would be cool. Anything like that, the trouble is they're probably not a good idea early on. So wrasses like that will be later.
How do you feel about Latin names?
I don't like Latin names. here we go. Acanthurus. Well, that's a tang, isn't it? Nigra fuscus. I don't know what that is, but
it'll be one that's similar to a powder blue or a
dory.
No. It's acanthurus tangs are like Soho tangs, things like that. I think it's one of the ones. It's black with yellow, I believe.
No idea. If you're suggesting a scientific name, I'm going to ignore it.
It's not what I thought it was. It is the ugliest brown tang, and I think I've got two of them.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Scribbled angel. No angels. This is going in an LPS tank. Not having any. I might get a Genacanthus angel because they are genuinely reef safe. So the what are they called? A Bellus angel. They look all right. The Spotbreast angel, all that lot.
Boring.
They are a bit boring. That's the trouble. The one that that I really like is the Japanese masked swallowtail, of course.
Yeah.
Get myself a pair of them.
Well, we both know there's a I'm actually on a waiting list for them.
So am I, yeah.
Are you actually?
Yeah. But well, unofficially, but I don't think it's ever gonna happen. What about a tank full of nano fish? Suggests Ethan Taylor. I like the idea, and I think small fish in a big tank look cool, and although having a big tank is tempting to just put big fish in, they'll be happier in there because little fish like big space. But I won't have loads. I'll have a few. Like there's a goby and a the royal gram and all that lot. Blue ribbon eel. I won't get one, but I think they're cool. One thing I was thinking recently is changing the cage to a garden eel tank.
No, but terrible idea.
I'm not going to do it, but it would be so cool.
It would be so boring. It would be cool for like one day.
I wouldn't get bored of them. The hassle would be.
No, they don't do anything. It's just having grass. No,
they're so cool. No,
it would be no different having a jellyfish tank.
How about panther grouper with a load of chromis? That's a good shout. Yeah.
It should be not a panther one. It should be a
whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what one they went for. That red one with blue dots.
Yeah.
Is there an update on that yet? I don't follow any of them, do I? So
no, I think 52 weeks of reefing is dead. Although BRS haven't done an announcement. I actually deleted that video that I talked about last week where Ryan said he was stepping, but BRS Ryan said he was stepping aside for a week. They deleted that video and they've not said anything since then. It's been over a week, so I don't know what's going on. Maybe someone behind the scenes was like, no, take it down. I don't know.
But, I can't take that one down.
No. Yeah, exactly. But you can pay me to take it down. I'll take £1 million. Half a million discount, 50% off. What was I going to say? And I'll just make another one. I think that 52 weeks series is likely to die a death, I would guess. But they'll tell us all. This is speculation. So
it's more of like 4 weeks of reefing.
Yeah, exactly.
And 52.
It would be good to see updates on them, but I don't know. I've got no idea, to be fair. I have no input. Miniatus, that was the name of the group.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we'll keep doing suggestions because I'll look, and after the stream, I'll look back and I'll pull out the suggestions I like. And I already saw a couple on the Facebook page. I was like, well, actually, that's a good idea. I think someone suggested Royal Grammar on the Facebook page. And I know that's a really obvious fish to suggest, but I'd forgotten about that. And I think I love having Royal Grammar, so. Good shout, whoever
that is. What about some sort of scooter, Blenny?
At some point, yeah. I'd like just a normal scooter, a little mottled brown one.
I like the pink ones the most. So, you know, you get like bright red ones with yellow, and then you get pink ones, and then you get brown ones. The pink ones are my favourite, I think.
I had the scarlet ones.
Yeah, like the red
and yellow. Yeah. And they were really cool, but I had a pair and the female got egg bound, so I wouldn't get a pair again. I really like the green ones. Is it the green spotted ones they're called?
That's a mandarin.
It's a mandarin. Yeah, but same thing. They're all, what's the proper name for the group of fish? Can't remember. Dragonette. They're all dragonettes.
Yeah.
But I would either like a scooter blenny, or just a standard scooter blenny, or a green spotted mandarin. I think it's a green spotted mandarin. I think they're cool. And they are supposedly two of the ones that are more likely to eat prepared food. But this is not day one.
No.
And the trouble is I'll have a few wrasses.
That's the problem they compete.
Exactly. They go for the same food source. And actually, the hawkfish that you're looking after at the moment, especially the falco and the scarlet, they both eat copepods and amphipods. every time I take my Tunzi algae magnet off, they're over, and I see them hoovering up tiny little copepods, tiny little things, and they hoover them up. So another fish that would compete with the scuba bunny. So
I worked out what the success, how to have success with a mandarin fish is. Oh, yeah. Because I have one in the coral farm. And what you need is a 4,000 liter coral farm, because yeah. I don't feed this special. This thing is the fattest mandarin I've ever seen. I saw it the other day. I don't look for all the fish all the time. Yeah. And I just saw it. I was like, what have you been eating? Because I actually got it by accident. I ordered a load of fish from my local fish shop. And I said, don't put them in your system. I'll take them straight in the bags.
Yeah.
And and I took about 6 or 7 fish, but I took 7 or 8 bags, because there was one fish which was another customer's, and I didn't know this. The owner just gave it to me. I got home and I was like, why have I got a mandarin? And I just said to him, look, you're 45 minutes away. I'm not driving all the way back there. It's not worth my time. I'll just pay you for it, and I'll put it in there. And it does really well.
The one, so someone said, is it a psychedelic mandarin? Yeah. The one I'm talking about is this one. It's just called a spotted mandarin. I saw another name for it as well a minute ago that I'd never seen before. What was it called? Picturesque dragonet. I've never heard it called that. That's Wikipedia. But anyway, it's the spotted mandarin. It's green and it's spotted, so I call it green spotted. But I don't know. Maybe years down the line. Maybe a year or so down the line. It's probably not a good idea. But that's a scuba blenny. Supposedly, they're more likely to eat frozen food. So maybe that's a better shout. And they are a bit boring, but I just love the way they like scoot along the. They're just a different character, and I like that.
The list of fish which are probably a good idea is actually very small.
Yeah, exactly. Think about it. Yeah. Clownfish.
There's not. Yeah, basically just clownfish.
Yeah. A single Bangai cardinal.
Yeah. Yeah, not two.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because actually, so I've got one Bangai cardinal in the water box, and he'll be going in there as well. And he's really cool. And having a pair was awesome, but it's lots of fish like that. So you mentioned your Bangai cardinals did the same as mine did. So they breed, and then they don't, because it's not the place to do it. It's not natural. I had the same issue with the two dragonets, my scarlet dragonets. They do this mating dance where they sort of float up next to each other, and then they shoot down really quickly. It's so cool to watch, and they were doing it for the night after night. It's one of the things that gets you into the hobby. And like, you can talk about how good fresh water is compared to salt water, but when you see something like that, it's like, oh, this is why I'm in it. It was so cool, but I would never do it again because she became eggbound and died.
You are very lucky, because you, I assume, have always had sofas where your tank is, so you can sit and watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I have never had that at all, ever, until I got the water box.
And now, yeah.
And now I don't want to look at it.
So go on.
I literally put sofas and a little coffee table in front of the tank, specifically so I could sit and watch it. Yeah. And now I don't want to sit and watch it.
Well, so I've got two. So with my water box is always just to my left. It's literally, I can touch it. There you go, I'm touching it now. And that tank looks amazing. And it's head height. It's perfect head height. This is where I sit 3 days a week doing work. So I can just look across and see the gunnies. And it's amazing. And on the main tank, that is in my living room, so there's a sofa in it. But it's always off at a funny angle. You've got to go and stand in front of it. So it's not quite the same. But with a new tank, I'll have a chair opposite it.
Because
we're shuffling around the living room, so I'm just going to be there like all day long, basically. So,
have you got a TV in there? I think you do, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of how you're going to be able to shuffle, think something in front of it, and still be able to see the TV.
I'll show you next time I'm up, but we're moving some stuff around, but having the water box right next to me and head height where I'm sitting down, two of my gunnies, the red and the green one, man, they're just. They're so awesome. I love gunnies.
I need a little chair in the fish room, and I need a little fridge for beer. That's what I need.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's a good idea.
I used to, when I first started the coral farm, I used to actually go in there on a Friday with a glass of wine, and I will sit on one of the stalls in between all the, you know how you can sit in the middle bit? Mm-hmm. So you can see four of the tanks and the one in front of you, so five of them. I used to do that, whereas I've not done that for years now.
it's quite a small spacer, isn't it? If you had it, when you upgrade to a bigger farm, those are the rules. You can factor in that and have a viewing area like a sofa with like a proper mini bar, and you know,
mini bar turn into a blind nightclub all of a sudden.
Yeah, I'm up for that. Other fish suggestions: Achilles or Goldrim tang.
Terrible idea.
I would love an Achilles, but I would have to say you can come in on these conditions. Number one, you're not aggressive. And they'd be like, no, thanks, mate, I'm out. Number two, you don't give everyone white spot. No, thanks, mate, I'm out.
So, if
you can find me one, if you can train an Achilles not to get too big, not to get too aggressive, and not to get disease, I'll take him.
I was thinking this today. I wondered if you would quarantine your fish, because you've already got the majority of your fish. So you can do those all in one go. Do you know what I actually thought? What I actually thought was...
Why? What have you done to my fish?
Nothing. What I thought is I could quarantine yours for you, is what I actually... I'm not going to. It was a weird thought that came into my head for like a moment. And I was like, nope, this is a pain in the ass to do. Well, it's not really a pain in the ass, but I thought about it and I just thought, actually, I don't want to risk like putting them through carpal treatment.
Why would I quarantine? I know they're in different water now. They're in your tank, not mine. But why would I quarantine fish that I've had for years that I know are healthy? That to me, and I'm sure, like maybe Humblefish would say, no, you really still should do because you're moving it to a different system. Yeah. But that to me makes no sense.
Yeah. No, I know.
I'm part of the anti-quarantine gang. So
you had some issues with quarantine, didn't you, when you first did it?
I hated quarantine. So one of the problems, I think I would be better at it now because I've got a bit more experience. Whereas when I got my first tank, I think for 6 months I didn't quarantine. But then I did start, I had issues and I started quarantining and I just lost so many fish in quarantine. And I found, I don't know, 50% success rate of fish coming through quarantine.
What were you doing that was wrong?
I don't know. And I tried a few different things. I started with a smaller one. I bought a bigger quarantine tank. I was all over the forums taking advice from people. I think I was listening. I can't remember now. I used chloroquine phosphate, which is supposedly better than copper. Maybe I was overdosing that. I was following the guides, but maybe I was overdosing that. Maybe I had ammonia spikes. I think I had a copper you were using. The what?
It could have been the copper that you were using.
Chloroquine phosphate.
Oh, sorry.
It's malaria tablets.
Yeah.
So it could have been that. I didn't always use that though. And I had there was one though. I got a leopard ras, the peacock ras, sorry. Really common, aren't they? Put him in the quarantine tank. Left him there for, I don't know, a couple of days or a week before I started. I was going to start treatment. And he just, I had a little Tupperware tub of sand because, you know, I'd thought about him, make a bed for him. And I was like, okay, let's go and start treatment then. And he just disappeared. And I was like, that's weird. And I went back a couple of days in a row. He wasn't there. I checked everywhere around the tank and I had a cat. So it's possible that he jumped out and got eaten, but I had a lid on it. It had literally a plastic, a solid lid, not a mesh cover, a literal lid. It was like a freshwater tank.
Yeah.
He hadn't jumped out. I'm almost certain. I then after another week or so had passed, I was like, do you know what? I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to disturb the sand bed. So I disturbed the sand to see if he was in there, completely emptied it, nothing, not even a skeleton. I have literally no idea what happened. There was nothing else in there. There were no inverts. There was no other fish.
Weird.
Just bizarre. The most sensible explanation would be that he jumped out, found a hole somewhere because there was a canister filter But it was in a cupboard under my stairs. But that I tried quarantine for, I don't know, 6 months. You could probably go back and find on my Ultimate Reef Fed how long I tried it for. At least 6 months, a couple of different tanks. I followed all the advice. I tried different methods and I just had endless problems with it. That's why I didn't like it. And I found it caused me more problems than it did good. But that was at a time when I was green. So I probably didn't, I think I'd be better at it now. But
I've had 100% success rate with regards to survival, but not 100% success rate with regards to keeping stuff out.
It's so bizarre.
So
that you've had that.
Yeah. But, I don't know.
But no, I won't be. But it does make me nervous, especially when I've got these fish that I've had for a long time. That's part of the reason I haven't added new fish, even though I've lost a couple to old age and all that sort of stuff. It's part of the reason I haven't added new fish because why take the risk? But anyway, but yeah, so I think everyone stopped suggesting Tangs now, which is good. Although I was thinking a powder blue would be cool.
Assessor. That's what you want, an assessor.
Do you know what? Someone else on YouTube had an assessor. Was it March?
I've got two.
I've seen one of them. Yeah. Someone was talking about it recently on a video I saw. I can't remember which one it was, but they were saying they love it. Yeah, it's possible. They're quite bright, aren't they? Yeah.
Which one did you see?
The yellow one.
Yes. The reason you didn't, the other one you saw as well. You just didn't realize you saw it because the background is black and the assessor is dark blue. Okay. So you never see it because it's there, but it's just camouflaged.
Okay.
So you would have seen, I got them at the same time. So you would have seen both of them. I'm pretty sure I got them at the same time.
I can only remember seeing one of them, but yeah. Okay. I take the point.
Ask Whiskard Basslet. Yeah, that's a good choice. Although there are other different types of basslets, which are,
I was about to say, so the two expensive ones I'm thinking about are the De Jonghi Grammar, which is a reverse Percy.
Cha-ching.
But last time I saw one, they were 600 quid. I know it's a lot of money, but it's a lot less than they were at one point. The only thing with the De Jonghi Grammar is it's not that much cooler than a normal Royal Grammar. And in fact, if you'd never seen a Royal Grammar before and you put them next to each other, I think most people would be like, they're both pretty cool. So I think I kind of like that because it's fancy and it's rare, which is a bad reason to buy a fish. What's the expensive, the peppermint basslet? What's it called?
Candy basslet. Yeah.
Candy.
There are other ones. There are probably four or five different types of basslets. they're like $2,500 though, I think, or something ridiculous.
The last time I saw, they were about 1,800 quid. And I don't think I could bring myself to.
That was a long time ago. Things are more expensive these days.
Very true. But that is a really cool fish. 1,949 in stock on marineworldaquatics.co.uk has one in stock. I'll buy it now. $1,949, $2,000. But yeah. I'd be worried about that jumping, to be honest.
Yeah, but you're going to have a lid, aren't you?
Even then, fish jump when there's a lid. I had a bloody, it was my Fluval Evo. Had a goby jump out of that and had a cover on it. And there was a gap, but it was tiny, but you just can't have any gap at all.
Can I just answer Gary's question quick? Yes, that one. So I don't know what is different about Dip X, which is killing the Sophastria, but I dip Coral, I use Coral RX on Sophastria all the time and it doesn't strip them. So I'm not sure what's happening with that one.
I think Red Sea Dip X is quite mild. What's the other one? So I've just used up the last of it. Oh, God. It's the potassium salt one. Reef Primer. And Tidal Gardens talk about that. I went through a spell of using that quite a lot. And then because it doesn't all dissolve, it sits at the bottom of the container. And I had an acro that touched the stuff that hadn't dissolved at the bottom of the container. It burnt the skin. Yeah. So I stopped using it for a while after that. And then I switched to Red Sea because it's easy to mix in and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, Coral RX,
I use Coral RX.
Bleach and tea tree oil, I think that is.
It works.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, but weird that it kills Sophastria.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that.
That makes me think that there was something wrong with the Sophastria.
Corals react differently to different things. But you saw your Sophastria in my last video.
I did. Yeah, how thick it was.
That was insane. When I saw that, I was like, "That is what calc does."
Yeah. So that I was watching that video, and as you were saying it, you're like, "I don't know what it is." And I was like, "Calc, calc, calc," and you said it. I was like,
yes. Because it's normally like wafer thin.
Yeah.
Like, it was proper. It's like translucent Sophastria sometimes when it's growing, whereas yours is like, a couple of mils thick.
Yeah, I did actually. So there was a big chunk of that Sophastria on the weir box, wasn't there? And I managed to get it off after you had left, but because it had been exposed to air for probably quite a while, and then it fell into cold water, it died. So
I got loads of it anyway, so it doesn't particularly matter.
Another great suggestion: geometric pygmy hawkfish. That is, I had one of them on my until a couple of years ago. Fantastic. They're tiny and they're secretive, but I love that about them.
That they normally like sit with their back, they're facing the rocks, is the one I think. I'm thinking of a coral croucher.
Oh, yeah. Someone suggested that as well. They're quite cool. Yeah. See, I like the idea of little fish like that in a big tank. But the pygmy perch is a wicked suggestion. Good
I think that it would be. loads and loads of small fish would be a cool idea that most people don't do, because most people have tanks for algae control.
Yeah, but I don't want tanks. Basically. Yeah,
let's get like 100 amperes.
No, that's just a couple of people on the Facebook page suggested Chromis and amperes. Not happening. That's another fish that I don't want the hassle of. Because I don't care how many people, you'll find someone eventually who'll be like, oh, I don't know what the fuss is about. You just need to feed them. Well, I've tried that and it didn't work. so I don't want scalding fish.
Yeah.
Invertebrates. Oh, clams. I am going to have a clam, at least one clam, probably a Durasa, because it's an LPS tank. So I don't want, this is one thing, I don't want a highlight demand clam, because I'd have to have a highlight spot. And that would compromise everything else. Actually, someone on the Facebook page posted this earlier in the week and said they've got a torch or something like that, an LPS coral that was under 300 par and it was doing great. And they were saying, do we underestimate how hardy corals can be and how adaptable they can be? And my thought to that was, to a degree, yes, but is it successful because of that or in spite of that? And I personally prefer to say, I'm going to assume that all corals are weak, and I would rather try to give them the perfect conditions that I know they want rather than try to mix it up. So that's why I don't want acros in that tank, because I'd have to have high light spots or low light spots, and it's a compromise. I don't want the compromises. I want to make this as easy as I can do. Mandarin harem,
like 10. Oh god, yeah. That's asking for disaster.
But yeah, anyway, right, we're going to move on. I don't suppose you have a coral of the week and a fish of the week this week.
Well, I just thought the fish of the week is going to be what this is, and I never have a coral week, do I? So
what's the fish
actually
of the week?
Actually, there you go. I've just picked my coral of the week. There you go, Blastomusa.
Let's wind back. What's the fish of the week?
Well, we've just done loads of fish.
A thousand. The fish of the week is 1,000.
Is all of the fish?
Pick one of them.
One of them.
I want the fish of the week.
Someone's just written pink line wrasse. There you go. That will do.
Aren't they a bit boring? Pink line.
Oh, I'm sorry, that pick some random fish and I picked a boring one.
Is that the same as a pink streaked wrasse?
Actually,
your little.
No, I look. I'm gonna have to see. I might be. I don't know if I'm about to show you. There was a fish which was on Instagram.
Okay.
Can you see this?
It's just white.
It is like an antheus.
Okay.
Which is red and white. I've never seen one before, and I was like, "What is that?"
But whose Instagram was it on?
Don't know. It was like it was an Asian one, so you couldn't even read what the writing said. Okay. But I was just like, "That is the coolest fish."
I mean, so, I'm sure it looks better in the photo, but that is, I'll accept that as a fish.
It looks like an antheus bred with a koi carp. You know, one of those white ones with the red on them.
I don't get koi carp. They're boring to me.
Well, but I liked it anyway. I like things I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Like, boring. That's how I feel about battery backups.
No, yeah, exactly. Reef Talk. Do you feel that you get that much more out of an aquarium so much bigger than your Fluval Evo? I don't have that anymore. But yes, 100% I do. But actually, to be fair, a better example is the water box, which is 2 foot by 2 foot by 16 inches tall. And that I loved. I ended up loving more than my 4 foot by 2 foot tank, because it was, the corals in there were just fantastic. But yeah, bigger tanks are awesome.
I have officially picked a fish of the week. Sorry. What is it? It is a white-capped goby.
Oh, yeah, okay. You had one of
they
these.
They are cool. I had one of these a long time ago.
Once in 5 years.
Yes. Yeah, you hardly ever see them. And they have a very specific pistol shrimp, which you can see there. It's got a little pink on it.
Rubra clematis.
Yep, that's the one. And the only way I could have success with this, I had to feed an entire cube of lobster eggs, because if I didn't feed a cube of lobster eggs, it didn't get fed, because you can't get food to it. So you just put millions of these lobster eggs in, and then eventually it'll catch them. So I was an idiot. I put in a 1,000-liter tank rather than put in like a little nano tank. But it was one of the coolest fish I ever had.
Okay. I like that. I like shrimp gobies, to be fair. They're cool.
Yeah.
All right. And your coral of the week was?
Blastomusa.
Blastos.
Yes.
Blasto.
And I picked it because it's on this mug.
Are they still Blastomusa wellsii? Or is that a coral that's been... do you know what the first thing that comes up when you Google Blastomusa wellsii is? prestigereef.co.uk, the UK's number one coral selling website.
Oh, that's, I haven't had those in for ages.
Have you not?
Oh, they're not in stock. Yeah, they're out of stock.
Oh, sold out. Oh, yeah. That's a shame. I thought you had them. You had them last time I saw you.
I don't have those ones. I have the Maletis, but they're not on the website at the moment.
Blastos are cool. I've got into Blastos recently.
Yes. They need very, very low light is what
I was going to say, yeah.
People are starting to realize now.
That's nice.
I had a whole range of them at one point. I had some really, really interesting, like, brightly colored ones.
Yeah.
They sold and they did really well. Okay. The problem with Blastos when it comes to actually growing them yourself is they have these little tiny little buds on the side of them. So they don't grow out so you can frag them. They sort of like grow like as a ball. And right. So there's like no point in them because I can't frag. Even if you keep it for a year, it still is like this little tight ball really you can't tight. Frag off.
So apparently they're quite slow growers. My two are actually all right. They're not as
I found them to be slow. But maybe when I say slow growing, it's they grow the heads, but they don't spread out.
Right.
If you see what I mean. So you can actually culture them.
I do have some in the tank behind me, but they're really sulky. They've got a couple of vermiseted snails poking at them.
Yeah.
And I think they're probably getting too much light.
I think, remember I had a salinity problem ages ago?
Yeah.
I think the Blasto did not like that at all.
Oh, really?
I think they were one of the first things to be annoyed. It was those in the Cephastres that just did not do well in that tank anymore.
Right, okay. Oh, I found a nice Blasto. Check out that.
I had a really, really, like, really nice one, which was like rainbow colour.
Yeah, I think you sold it quite quickly, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I had two of them, I think. Just two. They were two big heads. Because you sort of get the small heads now, which are the Maletis, and then you get the medium ones, and then you also get some like really, really big ones.
Mine are quite big. I think they must be Wellsite in that case. I don't know if they're Maleti. I know the ones you mean, the little ones.
Yeah. They're not as nice.
No, okay. Well, that's a good coral of the week, especially for a two-second on-the-spot thing.
There you are. That's why you bring me back every week, isn't it?
Exactly. But that brings us on to everybody's favourite segment, the news.
Oh, the news, yeah.
Didn't Biota just release something about them gobies? I haven't seen if they did. Anyway, so news. There's quite a lot of news this week, despite Reef Builders hasn't got a lot of news on. I think Reef Stock a Reef Builders show?
I think it was done. I don't know if it's Reef Builders, but it was done by Jake Adams.
Yeah.
And they had one in Denver and one in Australia.
So there's Reef Stock Denver, I think, is on at the moment. I've seen videos, so I assume it's on. Maybe it was on the weekend or whatever. But anyway, I'd wondered if the Reef Builders guys have been busy with that, but maybe it's not them. I don't know. I think it is them. Anyway, whatever.
They probably still do it. It was, as I said, it was definitely Jake that did it.
Yeah, for sure. But there's not actually much on Reef Builders this week, but there's quite a lot elsewhere. First thing first is, Ryan, we've got a rival.
Not good.
There aren't many. I know we need to do something about it.
And I'm out.
I'm gonna tell people about this. It's a new podcast.
Yeah.
But you mustn't listen to it because you can only listen if you've only got a limited amount of time. Listen to this. If you have spare time, you may then listen to. I'm giving you permission. You may then listen to another podcast.
Basically, if you want no information, come here. And if you want actual information, go elsewhere.
Exactly right. But there's a new podcast, and this is. I've got a YouTuber I mentioned recently, Kalamazoo Reefer, but he started a podcast that you can download. He does a video on it, but it's a downloadable podcast on Spotify, not yet Apple Podcasts, but various podcasts, basically. It's on Spotify, and this is it. And he did one last week that was, he covered the BRS, the Ryan leaving from BRS stuff. Yeah. And he's actually, that's the only other place I've seen talk about Ryan from BRS. No one else is talking about it, but anyway.
We're brave enough to, you know, we're not worried about the backlash.
Double R bastards, you and me. It's well worth a listen. So go and check it out if you like reefing podcasts. And he's based in the States, of course, Kalamazoo, which I think is in Michigan, actually. But he gave a US perspective on the BRS stuff. And it was quite interesting from my point of view, and he identified this quite well. from my point of view, BRS is a YouTube channel, but in the States, it's not, it's a shop.
Yeah,
so it's 50-50. Whereas over here, we're just like, oh, it's a YouTube channel. And there was some interesting, and there's all, they see stuff as well. He sees stuff that passes me by. So on this this podcast that he did about BRS, he talked about how Ryan's business partner left when Aperture bought them out. That had passed me by. I didn't realize that.
I didn't know.
And also, apparently, Neptune is moving from California to Pennsylvania, which is bloody miles.
That Pennsylvania is where Ecotech is as well.
Correct, which is why they're doing it. But apparently, yeah. And California's other side of the country. That had passed me by. So there's stuff like that that I'm sure I'd seen it somewhere, maybe. But because we're in the UK, we don't pay any attention to it. So, but there's some interesting stuff on that. And if you like reefing podcasts, there is another one available. So go and check it out.
Plus, they had some very kind words to say about us.
I was embarrassed. He was so nice about that. Thank you for that.
I've taken the clip. I've repeated it over and over again, and I play it to myself as I go to bed.
I had to sleep. So the he said some stuff before that again, not just about the podcast, but about me. That was far too kind with his praise. But definitely. That was yeah, exactly.
It wasn't. Let's put it this way: it wasn't justified.
But that was really nice, actually. But anyways, this is so a risk of this becoming a stroke fest. Kalamazoo Reefer, We the Reefers is the name of the podcast. So it's good. Go and check it out. And he's here. We go. He's in the chat. So you got to stop being nice to me, though, Kalamazoo. Otherwise, I'm going to get embarrassed.
Yeah, you have to be nasty. Otherwise, he'll get used to it.
Be nasty to Ryan.
No, never been. I'm very fragile.
Okay. So that's a new podcast. And second piece of news, the Red Sea Reef Can that we mentioned last week, the world's most expensive plastic container.
Yeah.
It's $100, I think, is available at the end of March.
It's $100? I didn't know that. $100?
There's one that's 100 and one's 70. Was it pounds or dollars? Can't remember, but very expensive. Wow. I'd still buy one, but I spoke to someone in a shop the other day and they were like, that's a lot of money for a plastic tub.
I did not know that is a lot. I don't listen, do I?
I know, but yeah, it's a lot of money for a plastic container.
Yeah,
but it's available at the end of March. I saw
it does have a picture of a coral on it, so
it does. Yeah, it's a very sophisticated container, but it is just a container. But there were comments on one of their videos. It's available end of March, most markets, from the sounds of it. What else? Vibrant update. I know you love Vibrant, Ryan.
I saw what Telegram put out.
I didn't see what he put, actually.
he put a picture of the old label and the new one, and then he just wrote something underneath that was just like smug. It wasn't smug. Like, I can't remember what it was. But...
He's calling you smug, Jim.
No.
What did he say?
No, I don't think smug was the right term.
He says, meh, the misinformation shared in this hobby by manufacturers and danglers is ridiculous.
And I think he's basically going, look at what they told us and then look at what actually is real, because they've updated the packaging. Yeah.
So this photo is from Reef to Reef. So I'll share the photo so you can see it. This is the new label and the old label. Old label on the left, new label on the right. Old label basically says it's amazing. 95%, this is the thing with it, 95% bacteria, it lists as the ingredients, 1% amino acids, 0.5% vinegar, 3.5% other. That has now changed to 96.5% other, and 3%, I can't even read that, like phenylomethylene, dimethylene. Basically, it's got all these warnings on it now. They've been told to do this, by the way, by whoever it was. Caution, keep out of reach of children.
That's what I noticed. It's like that was, if you think about it, that's dangerous. They didn't have the warning labels on it that they must legally be required to have.
Well, they are now, and there's a little EPA registration, Environmental Protection Agency registration number.
Yeah,
and what bothers me is that they've still be. I've not seen anything from them talking about this.
Yeah.
So they've just
of course not.
But the hobby, we know about it, guys. You know, so talk. You've got to talk about this. You've got to explain yourselves. And they did say before, our lawyers have advised us to be quiet or something like that. But it's like, come on, you got to say something. And I personally wouldn't. They're still selling it, obviously, and now they're labeling it properly. There's no way I'd buy that. For a start, I think it's basically the same as API Algae Fix, which is a tenth of the price. So you just buy that instead. But how can you trust a company like that when they've done all of this? Especially, it's been years and they've not said a thing.
If you think about it, it really was just a lie.
Yeah.
Like it was like, it must be illegal. It must be.
Yeah. I don't know if they got fined. The only thing with it is they partnered with a company to make it. So it's not impossible that Underwater Creatures, which is the company, didn't know what was in it. But frankly, if you're going to sell it,
they did. It was vinegar and 95% fairy dust.
If you're going to sell it, you can't just sell it and be like, "Oh no, I don't want to know what's in it." You've got to take responsibility. So if it wasn't a lie, it was the next worst thing. So yeah, don't buy Vibrant, guys.
Oh, you can't say that.
I just did.
That's so bad.
You can buy Vibrant if you want, but how could you trust a company like that? It's
because it wasn't that the ingredients weren't put on there. It was blatantly
pretended
alive.
It was bacteria. It was like, oh, it's bacteria, because we're all like, oh, bacteria is good. It's all natural, and they were like, we'll tell people it's bacteria when it's actually an algicide. It's like,
yeah,
but they've got to come out and
see. Until I saw that picture,
tell us your side of the story. Come on.
Until I saw that picture that the Telegram posted, I didn't really feel anything about it. I was just like, I used it once. It was all right. It didn't. Like, it had an effect, but it didn't completely eradicate what I wanted. But then when I saw all like the warning labels, that was when I went, actually, this really, really is bad.
Yeah.
Like it was actually dangerous bad.
I always wondered why you never saw it as a big deal. Because you
just didn't care. Like I used it once, it didn't kill anything.
Yeah.
But it was more of the fact that when I actually saw it and I went, like, people could have actually been injured by this. I mean, if your kid's going to go pick up a bottle of bacteria, then survival of the fittest. But it's not good, basically.
No, but I just wish they'd come out and give your side of the story. Talk about it. Stop being quiet. Talk about it. Come on.
Yeah.
Not good enough. Anyway. So that's Vibrant update. You can go and check it out. And there's the Reef to Reef thread about it. I can't remember what the thread is called, but it's on there. It's on there somewhere. If you want more detail, there's lots of stuff on there that I don't understand and all the details. But anyway, so that's a Vibrant update. And now we have Reefstock Denver. Saltwateraquarium.com is, hang on a second. I'm still here. Saltwateraquarium.com is out there. Mark, what's his face? Mr. Saltwater Tank. Mark Callahan.
Yeah.
He's covering all the stuff there. And he's unveiled a few new products.
Interesting, because I haven't seen anything new or exciting for ages. So am I about to be excited?
It's not that new, and it's not that exciting.
Okay.
But everybody knows that here.
I feel like you've built this up too much.
No, here on the Prestige Reef Talk Show, the one thing that we think is missing from most equipment is some kind of Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, basically.
Contactless,
exactly. So you put something like that on an existing piece of equipment and we will love it. So, for example, Ceche made a contactless heater and we loved it. Well, I've got good news for you. Eheim have made a Wi-Fi heater.
Nice. Actually, that actually makes more sense.
It does. So the thing is, though, it was announced as being new. Oh, I don't know if it was announced as being new, but it was at Reefstock and they were presenting it like it was new. And this is already in the shops. It's available. You can get it delivered on Tuesday. In the UK, and we're not normally further. Although it's a European company, but anyway,
that wasn't a yawn about the heater. I was just tired. But
no.
What I was actually thinking is, I suppose it doesn't actually matter. No, I was thinking that heaters should have cages around them because it's like a basic requirement. But not everyone needs to have a cage because the heaters aren't in the tanks. I bought heaters with cages for quarantine tanks, but they're not as easy to find as the ones without cages.
I still think it's better to have a cage because I have rock in my sump and I've dropped rock before.
Yeah.
And if you drop it on a heater, you're in trouble. So yeah, I think I would rather have it, but it's probably not necessary. But I'll tell you a little bit about it because it's not quite what you think. So it's a Wi-Fi heater.
Yeah.
You can't adjust the heat in a traditional way with a dial. It has to be by Wi-Fi. But Eheim is known for reliability, basically. It's a German company, so excuse the cliche, but German stuff is well made, right? And Eheim in particular has a really good reputation for that. They make simple stuff and they make it really well. I think this actually moves away from that a little bit because adding Wi-Fi makes it more complicated than it needs to be. But anyway, the Wi-Fi, the way it works, it doesn't have an app. So it's a web browser-based Wi-Fi. And you can adjust the temperature from anywhere in the world as long as you have a Wi-Fi connection. don't know if you'd ever want to do that, but you know, whatever. And it does say, it did say that it will send you alerts if the temperature gets too high or too low. But because
anywhere in the world, does that include my sofa? Because then it would be useful.
Exactly. And well, that's when you use it.
Yeah.
But it says it will send you alerts if the temperature is too high or too low, which sounds good on the face of it, but it's web browser based. So I think that means you would have to log into the web browser to get the alert. And that's not an alert then, is it? Yeah. But anyway, but I don't hate that. I think I'd rather, that feels like it's more complicated than it needs to be. And I'd rather just have a heater that I plug into an aquarium controller, but there you go.
I have a Floorball heater and it's the one with the cage and it's got this little dial thing on top for you to, I don't know how it works. I'm like, what happened to the old fashioned one with a dial that you just pointed it at what you wanted?
Oh, I think I know the one with it's a little digital display.
Yes. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And I'm like, how do I set what I want it to be and everything?
Yeah, to be fair, I have one of those and it is a bit temperamental. But it's got a little dial that you a little stick that you push to one side. But anyway, so this Eheim one, I don't hate that, to be fair. The only thing I'm not a massive fan of is it's for the 150 watt one is £52. And the 150 watt normal one is £34. So it's quite a lot more money. It's only £20, I suppose, but it's like almost double the price.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's necessary, but hey, I don't hate it. Eheim, though, apparently they've had a bulk delivery of Wi-Fi chips because they've not stopped
them in everything.
Exactly, they have. And they the next thing they've got is a Wi-Fi UV sterilizer.
Okay.
That's the face I pulled when I saw that.
Where is this going? Like, what does it do?
So I have one of these UV sterilizers. This is it. And I have that, the standard one. It's really good. It's again, what Eheim do well is they make it well. It works, very functional. They just work. And that's why I like Eheim stuff. But this has got a Wi-Fi thing. And the Wi-Fi thing with this, it's got some things that were quite clever. And the only thing really that I think was worthwhile is you can set a timer for the bulb when the bulb is on and off.
Yeah.
And that I actually do think is worthwhile because otherwise you've got to put a plug timer on and I hate plug timers.
Don't you just always have it on?
So you can have it 24/7. Some people have it on overnight. Some people you might have it on for, if you have it on 12 hours a day, for example, it'll double the life of the tube, the UV tube bulb.
Yeah, it will half do what it's meant to do.
Yeah, but some people, okay, if you just have it 24/7, then that's
way better. Mine's I've always run them 24/7. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, so I've run it on and off before, but so I don't know how much more expensive it is. I'm trying to find it now, actually. How much is this? This is 1200 liter Eheim UV sterilizer. Let me see if I can find the normal one, the Reflex. See how much. Oh, I think it's, hang on, this is the 11 watt one is 165. And how many watts is this? Talk amongst yourself, guys. I know this is great.
A smile on your face as you're comparing the prices of two things. Like, I'm like, why are you so excited about this?
I can't find any comparison. But it looks like it's quite a lot more expensive. I think there's some value in that, to be fair, but I would probably prefer the standard one.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that's about as useful as the contactless heater.
Yeah. Not the one thing I would say, look at this. It's got a little blue light on the power supply.
Nice.
The standard one doesn't have that.
You really are like clutching your straws, aren't you?
But yeah, so it's now got a built-in Wi-Fi time on that. I think it said you could boost it as well. So you can boost the intensity of the bulb for a short period. Again,
what purpose is that?
Well, it's more intense, but I don't know how long you could boost it for. But anyway, whatever. That didn't strike me as something that was amazing. And this, again, this felt like they'd had a bulk load of Wi-Fi chips, and they're like, Dave, mate, we've ordered too many. What should we do with them? Like, put them in the UV sterilizer.
I just wonder if we have had, there was like the 2018 was the golden age of new stuff.
Yeah.
When the roller mats came out, the Red Sea stuff came out, like the ReefBot came out. That was the golden age of, we have not seen anything like that innovation for a long time, as far as I'm concerned. We've had other products, like different branded versions of the same thing.
Yeah.
But then, again, what is there to make?
No iteration. Oh, well, but you would have said that before the roller mat came out, and now everyone loves them.
Yeah.
There was on the We the Reefers podcast, Kalamazoo Reef had some interesting points on ecotech and how they affect that particular point. I won't talk about it, but if you want to know more, go and check out the podcast after you've listened to this podcast. more Wi-Fi chips, Ryan, at Eheim.
Okay.
I know you're excited by what we had so far.
Yeah, very.
They brought out a pH controller for calcium reactors.
This is getting worse.
I mean, that's fine. It's good to have a pH controller, but it's also Wi-Fi, of course.
Nice.
It said it's got a pH probe and a solenoid for a calcium reactor, and it alerts you if your pH goes too high or too low. But again, this is browser based, so I don't think it. I don't think those alerts will do anything unless you log onto the browser. So a bit weird. But I guess it will be cheaper because it doesn't have an app. But the final thing is, and this is more Wi-Fi stuff from Eheim. And this actually, I don't think this is new. They mentioned it. That Eheim do an auto feeder. You know the single auto feeder, really good. Again,
this might actually be worth having as Wi-Fi. So let's see what this does.
So the standard Eheim auto feeder. I used to have one. I don't anymore. It was my go-to one because it's really simple. It's clockwork. A couple of batteries that last forever. And it just does what it needs. The only problem I had with it was it dispensed too many pellets. I could never get it to dispense the right amount. But they brought out a Wi-Fi version. And this has been around for a while, though, at least 6 months. But the one thing I thought was clever with this is it's got a scale built into it. So it will notify you when it's running out, not just a guess. Yeah. I mean, but again, it's browser-based. So does that mean you... I might be wrong about this, but I think you have to log on to the browser to get those notifications, which is anyway.
JJ says you put your email in and then you get the alerts.
That's clever. Thank you, JJ. Okay, that's better. I mean, do you want to? I don't know if I want an alert by email, but okay, fair enough. There you go.
For things that are not like your heater, you might need to know that immediately. Yeah. But for change your bulb on your UV sterilizer or top up your. I actually think the food one, that's the sort of thing you put on and you'll leave it for 3 months and you'll forget how much food and it will just run out one day.
Yeah, that's true. Because it's out of the way. It's normally quite high up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. But again, I don't hate any of this. But that that again is browser based. I have the Refactory auto feeder and that is actually really good. But I never use it because I feed frozen. But on the new tank, I might feed pellets. Because it's much bigger. No?
No,
just
yeah, I know, but you are known for having phosphate issues. You're about to have a whole lot more phosphate issues if you start feeding pellets.
That's a possibility. I'll test it now. Anyway, I've got a robot to test it for me. So
great.
But that is there's an Eheim auto feeder and it's a Wi-Fi version, £93, and I think the standard non Wi-Fi one is half that, and you can normally get it discounted on Amazon for like £30. So I'm not sure. I'd rather have the standard one. This has got some better functionality. It's easier to set up, but I think I'd rather save the money, spend the money on corals.
I had all these crazy ideas when I first set up the farm about what I wanted. And I wanted to have one of those on every single tank. And then I decided against it.
You do like automating stuff, don't you?
I do like automating stuff. And it would have made like, the one thing that it forces, I have to go and check the corals, obviously, when I feed the fish. But I was going to have one of those on every single tank. But then it would have been a terrible idea. Firstly, I would need 10 of them or 8 of them. So that's a lot of money. Secondly, it's very humid in there. So they all would have been blocked.
Yeah, okay. I also don't like, because obviously you've got a cover on your tank, on all tanks, and I find that the pellets, half the pellets settle on the cover, and then it gets dirty. And
it wouldn't have worked anyway, because I didn't have a cover at that point, so they would have been on the edge. But then once I got the cover, they wouldn't have fit on the edge anymore, would it?
No, okay. Yeah. You have to rest it somewhere else.
But... Yeah. And I've also, I knocked one in once as well. Actually, I knocked one in multiple times.
I did that. Yeah, it broke immediately. They can't swim. But I fortunately was there when I saw it, and so I fished it out straight away. But it died straight immediately.
Yeah,
but they're very good. The standard Eheim feeder, the single feeder, I think is one of the best ones out there. It's just it dispenses too much. But anyway, and there was someone that said also app functionality can be added later. Says TJ. So there you go. But I've tortured Ryan enough with with yes. Wi-Fi chips. So we're going to wrap the news up on that point.
Someone said, did the maid come round today? I'm not sure what that means.
did the maid come round today?
No. I think I slept about 2 hours last night. So I actually didn't realize I'd be this tired during it. And the tiredness hit me about 15 minutes in.
Yeah.
Actually, it was about half an hour. It was after I stopped talking.
I yawn half the time anyway.
Yeah.
Even when I'm not that tired. And Trevor makes a good point. Trevor Hillier, hopefully now that every aquarium product under the sun has Wi-Fi built in, we'll start to see some real product innovation.
True.
Literally everything is now Wi-Fi. Check your comments from the video, you. That is a mysterious comment. I don't know what it's about.
It must be on my
comment. The maid. Oh, yeah, you must. Anyway, we'll check it out later. We'll go back to later. Maid about Reef Dork's fish. I don't remember. We'll check. We're checking on that later.
I have no idea what that means.
But anyway, thank you for sitting through half an hour of Wi-Fi updates, Ryan.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. And thank you for joining. Everybody, now you can go and buy corals from prestigereef.co.uk. Thank you all for joining. And we will catch you.
I also, on. Etsy, remember? Etsy.co.uk. Com. I never get it right. There's all these customers waiting at reef.etsy.co.uk. And they're going, where's the stuff? Where's the stuff? Yeah.
In fact, I've just had a notification from Etsy, but it's not a sale. Anyway, thank you for watching, guys. Catch you all next week.
See you later. Bye.